Hello, my name is Christine Bailey and I'm one of the nutritionists at NutriLink Limited. Today I'm going to talk to you about how you can increase serotonin in the brain naturally. Serotonin is a neurotransmitter and within the central nervous system it's manufactured in the midbrain. Its production is triggered by the activation of the tectum, also located in the midbrain. And its stimulation seems to depend on adequate light, which is why there appears to be a connection between low mood and the darker winter months. Low levels of serotonin are associated with increased anger, depression, OCD, migraines, IBS, and anxiety. However, excess levels or expression, which is much less common, can also be linked to symptoms, for example, shyness and nervousness. Excess serotonin is also linked to excess estrogen, which may be affected by taking of birth control pills or estrogen creams, for example. And it appears that estrogens increase the sensitivity of serotonin receptor sites. High estrogen levels can cause symptoms of serotonin excess, and estrogen deficiency can cause symptoms of low serotonin. Therefore, if you are trying to take supplements to support your level of serotonin without addressing estrogen levels, it may not be effective. Now, we know that studies of 5-HTP and tryptophan supplements, which are precursors of serotonin, can be effective at boosting the level of serotonin in the body and the brain and boosting mood. But are there other ways that we can also boost the levels? Well, the first way is the act of thinking positive. The idea that alterations in your thought, whether self-induced or due to psychotherapy, can alter brain metabolism is not actually new. And in fact, there have been numerous studies demonstrating changes in blood flow of certain neurotransmitters. One study showed that meditation increased the levels of dopamine, for example. Similarly, another study has shown that self-induced changes in mood have influenced serotonin synthesis. So it appears that serotonin can not only influence our mood, but our mood can also influence levels of serotonin. Another possible avenue is looking at the use of light therapy. Exposure to bright light is another possible approach, again without using medication or drugs. And of course, bright light is a standard treatment for seasonal depression. However, there are now a few studies showing that it could also be an effective treatment for non-seasonal depression, for lifting depressed mood in women with PMT, and also in pregnant women suffering with depression. It appears that light raises serotonin levels generally in the venous outflow of the brain. And this has been demonstrated with measurements of serotonin metabolite 5-hydroxyindacetic acid. And this actually makes a lot of sense. Relatively few generations ago, most of the world population would have been involved in agriculture and outdoor activity for most of the day. And this would have resulted in high levels of bright light exposure, even in the winter. And even on a cloudy day, the light outside can be greater than 1,000 lux, which is a level never normally achieved indoors. Lamps are now available, which are designed for the treatment of seasonal affective disorder. And these are much greater at producing more lux than you can ever achieve by normal indoor lighting. And these may be an effective approach to raise serotonin throughout the year. Another factor to consider is the level of exercise. There has been a comprehensive review of the relationship between exercise and mood, which concluded the antidepressant and anti-anxiety effects are very significant. Exercise increases extracellular levels of serotonin in various brain areas, including the hippocampus and the cortex. And there seems to be a few different mechanisms involved in this effect. Motor activity increases the firing rates of serotonin neurons and the release and synthesis of serotonin. In addition, it does appear as well that when you exercise to fatigue, there is an increase in plasma tryptophan and a decrease in the levels of branched chain amino acids. Now, this is important because the branched chain amino acids inhibit tryptophan transport into the brain. But when there is an increase in plasma tryptophan and a decline in these branched chain amino acids, there is much greater increase in tryptophan ability to cross the blood-brain barrier. Another area that has been raised is the role of diet. Tryptophan is the precursor to serotonin, and tryptophan is an amino acid that we get through our diet. Many of the powerful antidepressant drugs that we use today increase the level of available serotonin. And if tryptophan is the key ingredient in making serotonin, then maybe by increasing tryptophan in the diet, we can also increase serotonin. However, there is a big difference between taking tryptophan as a supplement or drug and eating food containing tryptophan. We know that purified tryptophan increases brain serotonin. Foods containing tryptophan do not appear to be as effective. This is because tryptophan is transported into the brain by a transport system that is more active towards the large neutral amino acids. And tryptophan is the least abundant amino acid in protein and often in the blood. So there is competition between the various amino acids for the transport system. This means after ingesting a meal containing protein, which is a major source of the tryptophan, there will be a rise in plasma of these large neutral amino acids, preventing the rise in plasma tryptophan from increasing the levels in the brain. Now, while some foods are higher in tryptophan, it is more to do with crossing the blood-brain barrier. There is some evidence that if you eat carbohydrates along with protein, you can increase the tryptophan available to the brain. Now, when carbohydrates are consumed, the body will produce insulin. This diverts other amino acids to body muscles, but leaves tryptophan untouched. So with fewer competitor amino acids in the bloodstream, there is more likelihood that tryptophan can more freely enter the brain. So there may be merit in increasing the dietary consumption of tryptophan combined with low glycemic carbohydrates. And interestingly, studies that have looked at wild foods or foods that occurred in the past compared with the modern domesticated varieties does suggest levels of tryptophan in our conventional food that we eat today is much lower. There were studies, for example, looking at wild chickpeas compared to modern chickpeas, showing tryptophan content was almost twice as high in the wild chickpeas, including looking at as well the protein content of your overall diet would be important. That is more likely to be relevant for vegans or those following a specifically low protein diet, as much of the Western diet is actually quite high in tryptophan and protein anyway. Some examples of tryptophan containing foods are prawns, mushrooms, halibut, liver, beef, salmon, spinach, turkey, lamb, scallops, and chicken. So by all means, you can include those foods in the diet, but it is more important to maintain a steady flow of blood glucose in the brain, preventing insulin surges and blood sugar dips. Insulin surges are just as likely to deplete levels of serotonin as insufficient levels of blood sugar. Another compound which is found in milk called alpha-lactalbumin. Now, this is a minor constituent of milk, but particularly found in whey, does actually contain much more tryptophan than most other proteins. And studies